The Rescue Worker, a lifelong transformational journey of Jesus apprentices, learning to love, serve, and be like the Master. Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke with Dr. Douglas Pereira.
Hello, welcome to The Rescue Worker. Today is our fourth day of the 14th week of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. We are recording this live broadcast on December 9th. And I know life is busy because Christmas is approaching, end of the year, so many things to do. For us here in Canada, it's winter. There's some more work to do in case of snowing, shaveling, and all that. But what I can tell you is I really appreciate you deciding to be with us live or watching on demand. May God bless you abundantly on your decision. And I pray that as we study together, as we walk together, that we will reflect more and more Jesus Christ, our Master, loving and serving like Him. As you know, the community of the Rescue Worker, the community of Jesus Apprentices, we have a motto. And the motto is, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. That's the way that we want to be like Jesus, following the path of love, loving God, loving our neighbor, and loving ourselves. As you know, every week of this journey of experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke, we choose a Bible verse from the reading for the week to be our memory verse for the week. And the memory verse is Luke 6:45, the verse that we studied today. And here is the verse. A good person produces good things from the treasure of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasure of an evil heart. What you say flows from what is in your heart. A powerful verse that reminds us that God is interested in our heart, on our soul, on our being, because it's from there that everything for our life flows. And God is calling us to be or to have a merciful heart, for being a merciful person, a loving person. And the only way to do that is to submit to Jesus Christ every single day, having a relationship with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is allowing us to be in God's presence and open ourselves for His transformation, is making ourselves available for the work that He's doing, is joining hands on the work that He's doing. That is our call to submit, our call to join hands, our call to go through this transformational journey. It's not an event, it will take a lifetime for us to become more like God. And the main goal is not per se becoming more like God, but the main goal is to walk with God. Because as we walk with Him, the transformation will happen. So I want to invite you to walk with God daily, to position yourself before Him. Come before the throne of grace. And Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we'll receive His mercy and we'll find grace to help us when we need it the most. God is available and He's waiting for having this connection with you, this fellowship with you. So let's come. Let's have a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, I want to give you 1 minute for you to position yourself before God for this relationship with Him. I want to give you one minute for you to ask God for enlightenment, guidance, as we study verse 46. Today we have somehow a transitioning question that Jesus used on the Sermon on the Plain so he could come to a conclusion of the sermon, of his teachings there. And it is important for us to pay attention to that. So we need the Holy Spirit. So take this time right now to position yourself before the throne of grace and ask for the Holy Spirit to guide you through our study today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for this community, the Rescue Worker community, a community of Jesus apprentices. Thank you for life. Thank you for hope, for joy, for family, for shelter, for food, for forgiveness, for healing, for salvation. Lord, as we contemplate this important question of Jesus, I pray that we'll be able to answer in a proper way. Help us, Lord. Be with us. Give us a great day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So, Jesus is presenting more than nice teachings, a compelling arguments, radical lessons. He's presenting the will, the desire for God's children, for those that submit to the king and his kingdom, how they are supposed to live. Jesus is presenting the Torah, a new Torah. Not a new that is didn't exist before, but a new in a sense of expanded, enlarged, a new perspective of understanding what God had revealed before. In this essence, these principles, these values that we have been studying, they reflect who God is and what His kingdom is all about. Who God is and what His kingdom is all about? Well, Luke chapter 6, verse 36. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. God is love. Therefore, from Him emerges grace, mercy. His kingdom will be a merciful, a graceful kingdom. So everyone that submits to Him will experience the grace and the mercy of God. But also, everyone that submits to His kingdom is encouraged to live those principles of love, mercy and grace, and presenting, manifesting mercy and grace on our relationships. And when we demonstrate mercy and grace on our relationships, we will not have enemies, because we love them. The love will make them our loved ones. So as we show mercy, we will not live a life of reciprocity. Because someone did something to me, I'll do the same, if possible, in a worse and a strength way. No, because I live a merciful way, I will love my enemy. I'll do good to him. I will bless them. I will pray for them. And who are our enemies? Well, here we understand that our enemies can be described as those that are different from us, that think different from us, that is not part of our group, those that don't behave like us, but also those that oppose us. And the opposition here on the Sermon of the Mountain has four main ideas or concepts. Those that hate us, those that exclude us, segregate us, those that curse us, and those that mock us and lie about us. So, because I live under the rulership of a merciful and loving king, and I'm supposed now to reflect the kingdom and the king, I will show mercy and love for the enemy. Because the kingdom is based on love, mercy, and grace, I will be merciful towards people's faults. Therefore, I will not judge them in a sense of condemning them based on their actions or based on the label that we put on them, right? Because you were not faithful to the truth, you are a liar. And then we imprisonate them based on that label. And because you're a liar, I cannot trust whatever you say because you're a liar. But God call us to be merciful people. Therefore, we will offer release from that imprisonment, from that shackles of the label and the actions. And we will not treat them based on that. We'll be merciful, giving release, what here we see as the word forgiveness. And Jesus is trying to illustrate how his citizens use mercy and grace on their lives. And he tries to illustrate and expand the ideas using the illustration of two blind men. And we have studied about that. Then the relationship between a master and a student, a rabbi and a student. Then we have a relationship as well, or illustration about the log and the spike in someone's eyes. That if we are not being merciful, we have a log on our eyes that are unable to see ourselves and see the other way in a proper way. Therefore, the only way to see people and even see ourselves or deal with ourselves is through the lens of mercy. And the last 2 days, we have been reflecting on these two illustrations of the tree and its fruits, right? On the fig, on the grapes, right? And how everything emanates from a heart. So we can see if my heart is merciful, if my words and my deeds reflect that mercy. However, if I am hating people, excluding people, if I am mocking people, if I'm lying about people, if I'm judging, if I'm condemning people, I don't have a merciful heart. And somehow, God is calling us for a transformation and alignment. And it is based on this context that comes the question of verse 46. And I think it's important for us to have this overview so we can understand the question. Because otherwise, we can imply any other kind of interpretation to this question. But
we should first and foremost understand this question based on its context. Pastor, what is the question? Let's turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 46. So, why do you keep me calling? What do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't say or when you don't do what I say? Let me read again. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? And probably we don't need a lot of information to understand this question. I think itself is very explanatory, right? It's easy to understand. And we have heard this question or this verse before. And probably when you hear this verse, you see kind of a combination of all the teachings and commandments of God. And they put it inside of this baggage and say, you see what Jesus is saying here? If you're calling his Lord, if you're submitting to him, therefore you need to obey him. Obey him keeping the Sabbath. Obey him tithing. Obeying him. We give the list. And you know what? I don't think that interpretation is wrong. But I don't perceive this question having its first interpretation. This that includes everything. In my humble opinion, the first interpretation or the first manner or way to understand this question is Jesus referring to the aspects before. Why are you calling me Lord, Lord? I'm submitting under your authority, under your guidance, under your way of life, but you don't do what I say. And what is Jesus saying? Love your enemy. Do good to them. Bless them. Pray for them. What Jesus is asking us, don't judge. Don't condemn. Forgive. Give abundantly. Give mercy abundantly. So, when we don't do that, we are not obeying God. We are not under his authority. So, do you see here a major lesson? If we don't love the enemy, and if we judge, we are not under God's lordship, rulership. We are just hypocrites. That's the lesson that comes before. Because if I'm calling him Lord, I should obey whatever he says. And that brings me to James chapter 1. And I want to read, I think it's verse 22. Let me get there and I'll confirm to you. James 1:22. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. And then he tried to explain a different way. For if you're listening to the word and don't obey it, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself walk away and forgot what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. we need to do, to obey. Obey what? Luke 6, in the context of the Sermon of the Plain. We need to manifest the kingdom and its principles where there's a need of grace and mercy. Where there's a need for love, the apprentice of Jesus will display love. A love that will take care of the poor. A love that will provide food. A love that will wipe the tears. A love that will not exclude, hate, mock, or curse. A love that will love the enemy, that will do good things to people, to bless and pray for those that are opposed to us. A love that will not judge. A love that will not condemn. A love that will forgive and give. You see, what Jesus is saying in this context, if you're following me, calling me Lord, you must do what I'm asking you to do, to love, to manifest the kingdom and its values and principles that are based on whom? In God. You must be compassionate just as your Father is compassionate. Verse 36. But let me call you to other important, maybe, aspects here. First, so why do you keep me calling Lord, Lord? We know that this expression, Lord, after the resurrection, applies to Jesus' divinity and Jesus' the role as Messiah. Yes, it's clear. Jesus is Messiah. Yes, he is God. At this point in the Gospel of Luke, I'm not sure that we could say that Jesus is referring to that specifically, right? I know some scholars will say, oh, well, but Luke is writing after the resurrection, so maybe he is referring to that already, that people will consider him Lord one day, like the Messiah, God. And understand that. And I can see that this expression points out to the true reality. I'm just not sure that that is the clear picture that people had at the time, chronologically. But we need to keep in mind that this expression of Lord is an expression that was used in different contexts, not just of divinity or the messiahship, right? Or being the Messiah. This expression was related to authority. So a person was the lord of his house. So that means everybody was under his authority, the family, the people that worked there, right? That a soldier is in authority of his other soldiers. So he was a lord, right? A teacher sometimes can be referred as Lord because he's under authority or has authority over other teachers and students. So the expression here, and that's my humble opinion, points out first for authority and therefore show us what Jesus expects of those that are following him. It's not about you picking and choose what you like of Jesus and say, I'll obey this and not obey that. I'll do this, but I will not obey that. What Jesus is saying, and we will talk about that later on the Gospel of Luke, is the cost of discipleship, or it's the cost of apprenticeship, because the relationship is not a selective relationship where I select what I want to do based on what the person is saying, but it's a question of surrender. So Jesus is saying, if you want to follow me, you need to understand that you're under my authority and you need to obey me. Discipleship means I need to be under God's authority and obey him. And that's so crucial for us to understand. And what we see today is people pick and choose what they want to obey God. Yeah, that I like. That agrees with I think. So I'll obey here. But this part, no. This part is not for me. Forget about it. Right? And Jesus say, hey, if you want to follow me, it's all the way. It's Lord. I'm under authority. So if you decide to be under the kingdom, you need to be under the authority, the rulership of Jesus Christ. And this rulership is based on what? Love. So that's a point that I want to make. And the second point, and I'll probably finish with this second point, is related to a very important aspect that Jesus is pointing out here. So why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say? Jesus is not necessarily point out to the commandments, to the teachings, but he's point out to himself. And here has an important, you know, I could say a crucial implication. Because if Jesus was just point out to the letter or to the law itself, we could go and have the same temptation and problems that the people of Israel had, the Jewish people had in the Hebrew Bible. And what is that? Well, they focused so much in the law, on the letter of the law, that they identified 613 laws on the Torah, on the first five books of the Hebrew Bible, the Torah. So according to the Jewish understanding, there are 613 laws, commandments, mitzvahs, that we need to obey. And since that is the goal, to obey the law, I will create ways to protect me not to break those 613 laws. So the focus in the end, it's on the law and the letter of the law. And if we do the same with Jesus' sermon on the plain or on the mountain, we could go and create a list. Okay, do not hate. Do not condemn. And you create a list. And now I'm focusing so much, okay, what I can do not to judge. Okay, is there any steps that I can do that will protect me not judging? Then I start creating other laws for me to protect so I cannot break this law of judging. You see what I'm saying here? And I tell you, like, if you have, let's say, a major inclination for judgment or judging people, yeah, I think you can have things to help you or key points or key elements to help you not to go to that path. And that's nothing wrong with that. But Jesus doesn't want us to go to the same problem that the people Israel went, that they focus in the law itself. What Jesus is pointing out here is not necessarily and primary to the law, but to himself, the giver of the law. So have a relationship with the giver. Pay attention to the giver. Because it's through the giver understanding who is giving the law, you can understand and interpret properly the law. Because if I just focus on the law, I can be tempted to make my own interpretations, my own implications, and my own rules. But if I focus on the giver of the law, it's his interpretation, it's his guidance, it's his implications. And who's the giver of the law? Luke 6:36. You must be compassionate, just as your father is compassionate. For me, the exegetical key, the key for us to understand, to interpret, and to apply the sermon of plain on the plain, and also the sermon of the mountain, is the understanding of who's giving. I am the Lord, a merciful Lord that is asking mercy. Focus on the giver. So for some reason, you are not being merciful on your understanding about the law, your interpretation about the law, and the implication about the law, you're not keeping the law because you're hurting the nature of the law that is merciful. So keeping just the letter of the law without paying attention to the giver and the nature of the law, it is not keeping the law. And that's the reason that Paul will write and says, if you love, you have kept all the requirements of the law. However, if there's no mercy, grace, or love, there's no way that you keeping any law, no matter how many they are, you'll be fulfilling the law. Because the law is related to the giver of the law. So Jesus in the Sermon of the Mountain, the Sermon on the Plain, he's saying, pay attention to the giver. And then, do like the giver. Just do what I do. And then you keep the law. Mercy. Grace. So if your way of keeping the Sabbath day doesn't come from mercy and don't create mercy, you're not keeping the Sabbath day. If your tithing and offering doesn't come from mercy and don't promote mercy, you're not tithing and offering. Do you understand here? What Jesus is saying is what really means to keep God's law is to be, or let's rephrase, is to focus on the giver of the law and do what he does. So let me finish it with this question. Are you a merciful person? Are you expressing mercy? And I ask this question not for a guilty or shame game. I ask this question for a call to surrender. If somehow the fruits of your life are not manifestation of the kingdom,
and the kingdom's principles and values of loving the enemy, doing good to the enemy, blessing them, praying for them, not judging, not condemning. If you're not forgiving, you're not giving, you need to surrender. Because mercy must be manifested. Mercy must be the roots and the foundation. So I want to invite you to surrender. Surrender so you are aligned with the merciful God. Because if we call ourselves Christians, we are calling ourselves those that submit to a merciful God that requires mercy. And if somehow you are not manifesting mercy, you are living that dichotomy that Jesus used the phrase or the word expression, hypocrite. Living something that is not according to God's will. We need to be merciful. Let's surrender. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thanks so much for your blessings, your call. Your call for us to align with the original creation that reflects the image and likeness of God. A call for us to align with the redemption in the cross that create new people according to the principles and values of God's kingdom. Help us, Lord, to understand and to join hands on the work that you're doing on our lives. Forgive our sins and be with us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let's go to our questions of reflection. What is happening in this passage? What stuck out to me? What can I learn about God and His kingdom? In what ways has Jesus loved and served? How should I love and serve according to Jesus' example? What specific steps can I take to apply these lessons in my life? How can I share these lessons with others today? May God bless you abundantly. Tomorrow we'll continue and close the sermon that we've been reflecting. I know it is not an easy time. People are busy. It's the end of the year. As I said, we are doing this live broadcast on December 9. Christmas is around the corner. So much things to do. And hanging there, don't give up. We'll have the next week, right? We'll finish the week tomorrow and then one more week. And then we'll have a break, a Christmas and a New Year break where you'll be able to spend time with your family, maybe to listen again some of the episodes or start over again to contemplate and to reflect, right? And then in January, and I'll give the date later, probably January 23rd, 24th, I'll give you, we will resume our experience in the Gospel of Luke. But may God bless you on this journey. And remember, we serve a merciful God. Therefore, let's be merciful.
Experiencing Jesus in the Gospel of Luke.